Our scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 through 12. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done accordingly to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee.
Once again, good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone here today on this beautiful Sabbath day that we have. And so let's just have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the Creator of the universe. Thank You that through the Lord Jesus Christ we might inherit the earth, and having that our God and our Savior Jesus Christ come down from heaven, and that will dwell with us. Help us truly to understand it and truly want to be a part of it, to be able to be with our Savior for eternity, ever learning the plan of redemption. And we pray, Father, that reward will be given to us through Jesus Christ and Him alone. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, I wonder how many times we do look at Ecclesiastes, get it out, or even the Song of Solomon, and look at these things. You know, so I don't think we do very often see that, but we'll look at it today and see just what Solomon was able to see there. And so as we see some of these, just a couple, three of the verses there, if you turn there to Ecclesiastes to read some of that. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generous generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. And so we see that it's long fascinated many people, but other people even look at it and see it's the most melancholy Bible or book in the Bible also there. But we know that as Christians, this is also a book that we shouldn't ignore. So we need to look at it and see the realistic and materialistic society that we live in today. You know, everything is materialized and we want it. Everything that's out there we want. Every new gadget comes along, we got to buy it. You know, no matter what it costs to us there. So we just, we're after all of these things, you know, there. But we want to not miss the basic understanding that Solomon gives to us here in Ecclesiastes. We know that this really is a youth-oriented society that we live in, and this message appears to be towards young people. So young people, listen up. See that? We know that the scripture was written, especially the Old Testament scripture, for our learning in Romans 15:4, for our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10:11, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And as we see the book, the title of the book here is Hebrew is called Koheitha. And this also means the word of the preacher, as we see in chapter 1, you know. It's one who speaks to an assembly or a preacher. See that? And so we see that in the authorship is sometimes a question, but we truly believe that it is written by Solomon, was written by Solomon, and the early Christians gave that to Solomon there. The author identifies himself only there as the son of David, king in Jerusalem, as we see there in verse 1. But internal references certainly point to Solomon, and we can see examples of that in verse 16 there, chapter 1, his wisdom. Also in 1 Kings 3:12, his building activities in chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, and his wealth in chapter 2, 7 through 9, and also 2 Chronicles 9, 13 through 28, and where we know that God gave him all these things, gave him along with the wisdom. He did give him wealth and prestige and all of the things that were his. And even as they told the people of Israel, when they wanted a king, God told them what the king would want. They wanted the people that they would, he would enslave the people and using them, each one of them, take their wealth from them. And they see that, but then even the other nations gave the wealth that they had when they came to see Solomon. And so we see that, and we see it was dated, about 945 BC, if it was attributed to Solomon, and he really wrote this book. And then we need to look at its message about vanity, about wisdom. We see that wisdom, as I said, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the power to discern the difference. The knowledge and ability to make right choice at the opportune time. Proverbs 3, verses 2 through 4 tells us that. And then vanity, nothingness, meaningless. There's nothing to vanity there. In Strong's dictionary, he uses the thing as cotton candy. See, a whole lot of it candy, but once it touches your mouth, your lips, it melts. And there's nothing left. So we see that there is nothing that we need in vanity, but yet there are many people that have vanity in their lives. And, so we just pray that everything will be right there with us and see that there. We see the key word there also is fortuity. And so we see that the key word there is vanity. And we see the other things there along to that. And so we just pray that as we see these things, that we look at a key phrase is also under the sun. And so we just pray and ask for guidance and direction there so that all things will be done right for us so that we can understand it. And vanity occurs 35 times in 29 verses. And then the key phrase there, under the sun, also occurs 29 times in 27 verses. So we see that vanity and under the sun, Solomon uses quite a bit here in this book that he has written there, you know. And the book illustrates the vanity of life when looked at solely from an earthly perspective. And we know that many times that's all we use. We don't look at a spiritual perspective of the things that are there. But second, the importance of serving God throughout life. In chapters 11, 9 through 12 and 1, in verses 13 and 14, we can see that. And I pray that you do when you go home, that maybe this week that you will take the chance to read Ecclesiastes. There's only 12 chapters, so it won't take too long to read it there for that. But we know that the meaning of life is not found in experiencing things of this world, even though that we go after them. But what is the meaning of life, and how do we find it? The meaning of life is found in serving the Creator God, the one that created us, the one that created all things. And also the book contains goads and nails. If you read chapter 12, verse 11, words of the wise designed to goad or prod our thinking. And that's what we do if we take this book and we read it daily, that we can be prodded to learn its meaning and to live by it. That's what we are to do, to live by this word of God so that we can be his as we serve him here upon this earth. And then the words of the preacher, literally it's master of the assemblies, are given to nail and anchor down our lives and see what our lives really should be about. And so we see that. Then we find in this statement that prod our thinking, an exhortation that provides us the stability and thinking in our lives, and we pray that we will heed them. This message is given. If we don't heed the message, if we don't follow what it tells us here in the Word of God, we know that we will be lost. If we continue on our way, as I had in a Bible study this morning here in class, that the unpardonable sin, if we follow that pathway of vanity in the ways of the world, that we know we will be lost completely. And then the prologue of the book, we say there, in verse 1 of it, being the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. And these are the words of Solomon through that. And that dramatic autobiography here of his experiences and his observations in his life came probably maybe from the time that he was alienated from God. You can read that in 1 Kings 11, verses 1 through 13. And some of the preliminary conclusions expressed there throughout the book are probably also when he was alienated from God as he was searching for meaning. And we know that we need to continue today ourselves to find meaning. And we can only find it in the Word of God. And I pray that we are constantly searching for that true meaning that we need so that we can be workers for God. So at the end of his life, we see the things that in what he has said is probably evidence that he did repent. We're not sure whether he did or not, but we may see him in the kingdom. And so that we just see that. And then the theme is stated in verse 2 of that also. Vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. All is futile, useless, meaningless. Of course, this vanity pertains to life under the sun. In verse 14, as we read that, all efforts makes our life, as far as we can see, where life is concerned, is like grasping for the wind. And that is part of losing the Holy Spirit to unpardonable sin, too, and everything is when the Holy Spirit is like the wind. We don't see it. We can hear it, but we don't see it. We don't know where it goes. We don't know where it comes from. So then the question is asked in verse 3, as we looked at that there in verse 3, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? And Solomon tries to find the answer to this, and we should also find that. So we just see that the preacher sought to answer this question that he had. And so we see if there is any value or profit of all the things that we do and see here on this earth. And we know that there is nothing. There's nothing going to be left of this earth that we have here today that we see. Once the Lord takes care of it and remakes this earth, then we know that there's nothing here that we can take to heaven with us but our characters. To have our character that is in line with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the commandments that we are to keep. And we pray that we are keeping them every day through the guidance of the Holy Spirit living within us. But just to see that our life and our labor is meaningless if we don't follow Jesus, if we don't follow the Lord. So what can we do? Solomon shares with us there what he learned from personal observations, what he learned from personal experience, and the counsel based upon the wisdom and inspiration that God gave him. And we can have that today ourselves. We can have these things, what we observe, our experiences, and the inspiration that God will give to each and every one of us if we are searching for it. And it says that the Bible answers most of life's often asked questions, such as, who am I? Where did I come from? What am I here for? What am I going to be doing? And so we see these things, and he begins to answer these questions. There are questions in verse 4, as I've said there. And then the book of Ecclesiastes certainly addresses each question, which is why. It is worthy of our careful study. It is of value to all, especially to the young people. We need to know what the preacher says to us. But we also know that there is another preacher, also the son of David, that is king in Jerusalem. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we are looking forward to be our King, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. And I say, asking these questions, why am I here, what I should be doing? Probably some of you have done the same thing, even to my parents, that I said that I'd never asked to be born. You know, but yet, we have been born. So what are our lives going to be like? Are we going to follow our own consciences? Or are we going to follow the dictates of the Lord that gives to us through his word and his commandments? And I pray that we follow the commandments, that we follow the word of God daily and that we show others how to follow this law, these commandments, and these words. And the best way to do that is in the lives that people are able to see in each one of us. So we just pray that these questions, that we are be able to sought to see them. And then he, in the first two chapters, Solomon tells how he came to the conclusions that. And from his observations, he sees regarding the circle really of nature, of life, how it goes around in circles and contend. And it's apparently meaningless to us as we look at that without Jesus in our lives. We see that from his own experience, he's sought to find out through various different avenues how that earth, and we do the same thing in our lives. We've taken different avenues, taken different pathways, but if they don't all lead to the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we're going to be lost. We will be destroyed. There will be no more of us, though. So we can see the fertility of the experience in the life cycle that we have here. Nothing seems to change. Verses 4 through 7. If we look at them, verses 4 through 7. 4 through 7. As I said, one generation passes away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he rose. The wind goeth forth, goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, hither they return again. So we see as we said there, the earth seems to abide forever. Generations come and go. The sun is constant with its rising and its setting. The wind's continual, its whirling cycle. The water flows, a cycle also, even as it rivers return to the sea, then through evaporation and rain, it returns to the rivers once again. I know I read it one time that they talk about the water that we have here, but they say in places that we have the same amount of water that there's always been there through this cycle of evaporation going up in the night and coming back down. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but I've heard that said there. So we look at nature, and it seems as though nothing ever changes. It just goes in circles and circles and remains the same. But we know that we can see a difference in our lives if we truly follow Jesus. That circle of life that we're into, we pray that leads to eternal life for each and every one of us, to the ones that we come in contact, the ones that we can give the message to. And so we pray that we are all on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it says, nothing is new under the sun, verses 9 through 11. Whatever will be done has been done. If something is thought to be new, it is only because we've forgotten what occurred before. What about modern technological advances? We see many of them today in all the gadgets that come out every day, new gadgets coming out. The other one's obsolete already. A weapon comes out, and as soon as that over with, another one comes out. So that weapon is obsolete. That's way with so many things that we have there. But what about the technology that it was created, the pyramids or the Stonehenge? We see that, and we don't have all the ideas of how these things were done. But they were done for our examples. They still exist today. So we can look into these things there. But given time, future generations forget the past. What they are doing today, they soon forget tomorrow. And they rediscover what they have learned over and over again. And so they see the fertility of human wisdom also there. The preacher prefaces his search in verses 12 through 15. If we look at that, 12 through 15. The preacher was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. So we see then these things that can't change. They're all the same, and always will be. So we see that. But Solomon was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and God gave him that wisdom to reign. We know that later in life, that he lost that, and we see all the things that had come up against him by following and turning away from God. And it can happen to us today if we turn away from God. But we see that wisdom in 1 Kings 3, verses 9 through 12, our reading today, and also chapter 4, 29 through 34. So we need to be determined to, or Solomon was determined to use his wisdom to seek out all that was done under the sun. And so that we can do that same thing today. He's seen that this task was the same task God gave to all men. There was a task for which he had especially been equipped for. God equipped him for that task of being king over Israel. And then like his father David, he reigned for 40 years doing this. But like all past kings and all future kings, they pass away. And many times they're no more remembered. So we just pray that we will follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his word so that we won't forget these things. We had this word to put into our mind and into our hearts that we never will forget. We will carry it through on into eternity if we are to have the real experience to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that each one of us is there. Then he summarizes up what he's found, having seen the works done under the sun. He concludes that vanity are grasping for the wind. He feels that there is little one can do to make significant changes. The preacher applied his God-given wisdom, verses 16 and first half of verse 17. He acknowledged the greatness and wisdom he had attained. In answer to his prayer, Solomon attained great wisdom, 1 Kings 3, 9 through 12, James 1, 5. God-given wisdom that was granted to him because of his prayer. But it is always contrasted with human wisdom, for that's what we usually go by, human wisdom. He therefore sought to apply it to wisdom, madness, and folly. The wisdom here most likely is human wisdom or knowledge. And this is wisdom that he has set his heart to know or to learn. And we are today also to learn this knowledge that we can come right here from this word, from this book right here. We see the Bible in all sizes and everything else. Sometimes I wish I had a smaller Bible, but then the wordings, I need to have a large print Bible to really be able to see. You know, so we just pray that we will continue to look and read this Bible and to live by it, and so forth, that we can have that wisdom that Solomon was constantly looking forward to. So we see, and then he concludes that wisdom is fertile in first chapter there, verse 7 and verse 18. He preserves that such wisdom is like grasping for the wind. It does not provide the answer to his problems or to our problems today. So we see that this, that also that seeks wisdom and knowledge provides nothing for us. Grief and sorrow, even with all the knowledge that we have, with all the wisdom that we have, look at the sorrow. Look at all the folly that is in the world today, and will continue to get worse. We haven't reached that point yet, but it will continue to get worse and worse. And we cannot say today that, or we can say today, it's information overload. So much information that we have that we overload our brains. We overbrain our thinking, and we know that that doesn't give the answer to our problems. And so we just see that, and we see that we don't have control over many things. Many times we don't even have control over our own lives, but that's our own doings. And as I said, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom that Satan, or that Solomon, was looking for. And in the beginning there, this wise preacher naturally began with wisdom that he was seeking. Thus he set his heart to know wisdom, and we should set our heart to know wisdom also. But he found, as I've said already, that such wisdom is grasping for the wind, that we cannot see and we don't even know where it goes. But we should not be against all wisdom, for there's good wisdom out there for us that there. God-given wisdom that each one of us needs and should seek. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Again, at James 1, 5. Then this kind of wisdom can bless us in each one of our lives. And if you look there at Proverbs, if we turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. 13 through 18. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So we see that there. We can see that. And from the pen of Ellen White, the true wisdom is a treasure as lasting as eternity. Many of the world's so-called wise men are wise only in their own estimation. Counsel with the acquisition of worldly wisdom. They never enter the garden of God to become acquainted with the treasures of knowledge contained in the Holy Word. Supposing themselves to be wise, they are ignorant concerning the wisdom which all must have who gain eternal life. They cherish a contempt for the book of God, which if studied and obeyed, would make them truly wise. And we each can be truly wise if we obey and read the book and learn and live by it. So we just see that. But it's his own indictment against human wisdom. Human wisdom leaves God out of the picture. Human wisdom leaves us grasping for the wind. So we know that we need to look to the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Look to God for that. And then in the rest of Ecclesiastes, the preacher is still searching for meaning of his observations that he sees in there in the pleasures of madness and folly. And let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 30 and 31. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that's what we need to do, to glory in the Lord. There's the words that Paul wrote, contrasting human wisdom with God's wisdom. Have you and I heeded to the words of the preacher? And I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we have done that. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Mark 16, 15 and 16. We to accept and obey the true wisdom from God and Jesus Christ, who gives meaning and purpose for life. And I pray that we will do that. And one last, turn to chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. I'd like to end with these words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We pray that we will know that all things that are happening in our lives will come under judgment by our Lord Jesus Christ and by our God, because our Jesus, our King, is our judge. He's everything to us. He's our prosecuting attorney. He's our defense attorney. He's our jury. And only through him can we come to eternal life that God wants for each and every one of us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that we will follow the word of the preacher as he is looking for the way of life. We pray that we look to the light that is our Lord Jesus Christ. As the world is in darkness, we know that we have that pathway lighted up. We pray, Father, as we are going up the ladder, that we turn our heads to the top and keep our eyes upon the Savior at the top with outstretched arms, and that one day soon we will be with him to spend eternity. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities to be children of the living God, and that we will have life eternal, life with our Savior, life with our God, and for will be forevermore. In Jesus' precious name, amen.